Maybe I'll mix up that. Okay, gentlemen. I'm going to switch modes now. Talk about Purim from a different angle than what we were talking about in there. And that is that it's interesting, it's commented upon by all of the commentators that the Book of Esther is, I believe, the only book in the entire canonized Tanakh which doesn't have the name of Hashem in it anywhere. Like, it's a holy book, holy scripture, and it doesn't have the name of Hashem in it. So why does the Book of Esther not have the Shem Hashem? So it's hinted to many places. Maybe you saw. I think the Alshich explains that the reason it doesn't have the name of Hashem in it because it was a book of a different nature than the other books of the Torah. The other books of the Torah were Kisvei Hakodesh, were books that you read. This was an Igeres. An Igeres means like a letter that was sent out. It's a record of a chronicle, a letter that was sent out to the entire world, and it was sent out to Jews, and it was sent out to non-Jews, right? The Megillah was sent out to non-Jews. And the Gemara says something like this. The Gemara says that Mordechai, when he wrote it, was afraid that they would define the name of God as some type of an avodah zara, some type of an idolatry. It's like an interesting idea. They would sort of claim it for themselves because it's an undefined God, our God, to the nations of the world, especially at that time. So they would like replace the name with this avodah zara. So therefore, he left out the name of God. But the main point being that it wasn't a book that was like wasn't written as a holy book. It was written as a letter. The only thing is that Mordechai, at the end of the Megillah, insisted that it should be canonized as part of the Tanakh. In other words, he wanted this letter to be part of the Tanakh, something we have to understand also. There was an insistence. For instance, I mean, there's also, like, you probably realize there's a Megillus Antiochus, you know. There's a Megillus Antiochus. That's the Hanukkah story in the Megillah. The New Testament has the Book of Maccabees and has a big part of this. What?
It's in the Catholic version.
The Catholic version. But there we have it in our Siddur. If you open up the Otzer HaTfilos, you open up certain sophisticated Siddurs, not this one, but a sophisticated Siddur, like a two-volume Otzer HaTfilos, you'll find Megillus Antiochus, you'll find the Megillah. But it wasn't canonized, it's just an interesting story. And that's where it fills in a lot of the blanks of the stories, but you know, with the elephants, the Maccabees and all. But the Megillus Esther, Mordechai insisted would be canonized. But so here's the problem with the Alshich. You could say that it doesn't have God's name in it because it's going to the hands of the Goyim, but it's not really a good answer, I don't think, because eventually what happened was, as the story unfolded and as it became popular and as Ezra brought everybody back to Eretz Yisrael, and as he founded the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and they decided what to canonize and what not to canonize, they could have so easily, and they changed the language. It wasn't necessarily the exact language of Mordechai. So they could have for sure, and it would have been appropriate for them to put God's name into it. In other words, they actually wrote the Tanakh in the sense that the Tanakh that we have today. So they could have entered God's name into it. They could have put the Shem Hashem into it. And so it remained a godless story for some reason. And that requires our attention, I think. Why would we have a book of Tanakh without Hashem's name in it at all? Yeah.
I mean, there's no offense to say it. L'chaira, the people who finished the Tanakh are also Nevi'im. And L'chaira, you can't start playing around with Ksav unless you have like a prophecy to do that.
Not true. The Daniel, let's say, Book of Daniel, was not a direct quote from Hashem. The Book of Ezra, the Book of Nehemiah are not said to be certain nevuahs were exactly as Ko Amar Hashem, and certain Nebuahs weren't. They were just like a historical record of what took place, but since it was canonized by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, it received the, it's called Kisvei HaKodesh. Absolutely, it's absolutely for sure. That if you look, if you want to see this, if you're interested in this topic, if you look at the introduction of the Malbim to the Book of Daniel, you'll see there, almost one paragraph. If you take the Malbim Tanakh, it's in one paragraph where he explains that the words of Daniel have no Kedusha.
Wow.
The prophecies have Kedusha, the words don't have Kedusha because it was just the words of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, an amazing Malbim. That's why he says his commentary is different to Daniel, and it's in Aramaic, you know, Daniel's written in Aramaic, as is most of Ezra and most of Nehemiah. So these are words which are, you know, that, but sometimes you have like the Chumash, which is a prophecy which was dictated by Hashem, and you can't budge on that. But the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah had a lot of license in terms of, it's good to realize that. What were you saying? Somebody saying something? Okay. So let me posit the following theory, which I think gives a deeper insight into the entire holiday from a historical point of view. Purim. Like, what is the significance of it? And I think it's simple. I'm going to make it very simple here. And that is that Esther min HaTorah minayin, the Gemara asks this question of Chulin. That where do we know, where do we see Esther in the Torah? We'll talk about that more maybe tomorrow night. What is the question? Where do you find Esther in the Torah? But just the simple shot is everything's in the Torah, right? So where do we find Esther in the Torah? Where is she in the Chumash means? So the Gemara says, anybody familiar?
Esther
panai b'yoyim hahu. I will hide my face, Esther, which is really. This is a pun because Esther is just a Persian name, you know, Esther, just a Persian name. But if you'll translate it into the Hebrew, like her real name was Hadassah. Her name was Hadassah. Hadassah means like a willow. But in Persia they called her Esther, so that was her non-Jewish name, Esther. But she became known as Esther because she was Queen Esther. So she was Queen Esther. So the Gemara says, where do we see Esther in the Torah? So they find a pun on the word Esther, which means Esther sounds like hidden. It would be like you take an English word and it sounds something like a Hebrew word in the Chumash. So the Gemara says, like, where do we see her? And the answer is, it says, I will hide my face on that day. So what does it mean, I will hide my face on that day? What was the Gemara trying to bring out? Because the story of Haman, you mean, was like a hiding of God's face? Is that what it means? Or is there something, there's something like deeper here? I think there's something deeper. What do you say, Shmuel?
No, I was going to say that in Persia there, one of their Avodah Zorah gods is called Ishtar, which is the god of fertility.
I heard this, yeah. And that's why they named her that?
Well, it would make sense if the name was common back then, if it was named after one of the gods.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Even better, it has nothing to do with the Pasuk and the Chumash, right? Mm-hmm. Where do you find her? Esther. It has nothing to do with being hidden.
Right.
It has nothing to do with being hidden. So, here's the story. Listen to this. This is just, maybe you thought about this, maybe you didn't. That probably didn't. You'll see. That there was a relationship, a certain type of relationship between God and the Jewish people that existed since we became a people. And the relationship was a miraculous relationship. But what I mean to say is that the time of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, those days, in the book of Bereishis, so it wasn't, we don't have that many miracles in the book of Bereishis, right?
Separation.
Yeah, I'm talking about from Avraham on. Like the nature of the relationship between Abraham and God was not necessarily a miraculous relationship. Okay, that's a medrash. In the Chumash, you don't find. I'm not saying that no miracles happen to him or to you or to me. I mean, miracles happen, but I'm just saying that the nature, the definition, the relationship wasn't defined by miracles. Am I right?
Seized and split.
Certainly, if they were miracles, they were like personal miracles. It wasn't like this type of miracles. That's why Hashem got angry. Just while we're here, a footnote: when Moshe said to Hashem at the burning bush, Moshe said to Hashem, I need a miracle. I want to show the Jewish people a miracle. You know, so that's when Hashem told them, showed them the miracles of the stick turning into a snake and miracles, and told them, I'm going to do more miracles for you. But one of the things that Hashem said, and the Gemara says Hashem was angry when he said this to Moshe. He said that, Va'era, El Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yakov, I have shown myself. I have spoken to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob way before you were even born, Moshe. And nobody ever asked me, what's my name? Nobody ever asked me, how am I going to show? You know, there was a philosophical belief. Right? Avraham Avinu was a philosophical relationship that he had. It was a religious, a spiritual relationship that Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov had with Hashem, that they were willing to change their lives and to do bris milah and to sacrifice their children, do whatever needs to be done. It was out of conviction of their heart and their mind. All right? But it wasn't, that's what Hashem said to Moshe, why are you changing everything now into like a miraculous thing? I think I've explained here before that the miraculous name of Hashem is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. The natural name of Hashem is Elohim. Bracious Bara Elohim es Hashemayim ves Haaretz. Moshe Rabbeinu Elohim means Teva. Same number, same numerical value. Elohim and Teva is the same nature. The God of nature is, by the way, nature, you know, I always point this out, like we think, well, nature is Yah, and we want miracles. But the fact is, like if you take a walk in a beautiful park, or in a beautiful forest, and you see the streams, and you see the animals, and you see the flowers and the trees. Nature happens to be very beautiful. Teva is one of the. Am I right? I mean, you can see God more in nature than you can see God sometimes in a miracle. A miracle is like a whoa, one day, but this is like an ongoing manifestation of God's world is nature, and that was good enough. That's the name of Elohim, Bracious Bar Elohim, and Shemayim Vesaretz. That was good enough for Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Hashem says to Moshe, why isn't that good enough for you? Okay, the answer was, because I'm dealing with a different group of people over here. I'm dealing with Jews that their hands are callous from working for 210 years. They're far removed from Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Maybe they know about him, maybe they don't. This is not dealing with a spiritual sort of people right now. I need a miracle. I need to, here's another good psychological term. I need to re-engage them. Oh, good. I need to re-engage them and get them back into like the spiritual idea. So in order to jumpstart the spiritual relationship, we need miracles. Okay, so Hashem says, you want miracles? Look in the whole Bracious. Hardly, I think only once does it talk about Hashem with Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Once or twice in very unusual circumstances. It's always Elohim. And in Shmos, throughout, it's the name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. By Yaakov Avinu, when he's talking about the future in the Bris Ben Absarim, so there it keeps on switching all of a sudden to the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. So there was a paradigm shift that took place between the time of the Bracious and the time of Shmos, where you see an ongoing and constant change of the name of Hashem from Elohim to Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Are you with me on this? Yeah? Okay, so that's what took place. So from the time that we went out of Egypt and we became like a real nation, like a real people, you know, Atem Tiuli, we learned about in the Chumash, Mamlechus Koyanim, Goy Kadosh, you're going to be a nation of priests and a holy people, you're going to be a people. From that point on, our relationship was miracles. That's what Moshe demanded for the Jewish people. He brought this down into the world, this idea of miracles, and we were used to miracles. From that moment on, the ten plagues and the sea split, and we had man in the desert, and even when we went to Eretz Yisrael, which was less miraculous, it was also miraculous, and the way we were able to take over Israel was a different type of miracle. We'll talk about that one day. Different, there was a shift there, but it was only a minor shift. All the way through the time of, we learned a couple weeks ago, you remember how the Aron Kodesh came to Yerushalayim? Miracles and miracles. If you go through the whole Israel experience, from the time that we went out of Egypt, all the way up until the destruction of the first base of Mikdash, it was miracles, 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 miracles. Miracles in biblical terminology is called Pnei Hashem. You're seeing the face of Hashem.
to see the fish, that's a miracle?
That's a miracle, but that's not what I mean. What I mean is that when you're seeing the face of Hashem, you're seeing the miraculous nature of Hashem. Meaning, if I see, I think I could explain it like this. If I see your face, I don't have to guess who you are. If I see you walking from the van, so I have to think, is that Gavriel? Is it not Gavriel? Right, I got to think about it, right? So it requires some research and some thinking on my part. I see your face, it's open. When you see a miracle, you see God. It's clear, right? See splits, clear, right? I'm hungry, boom, comes both bread, right? Miracle. It's there's no question. You know, you daven, you get a miracle, easy. So you're seeing the face of Hashem.
That's if you daven, you get something. You can't really see it. You say, like, you daven, and then, like, you know, the next day you get your paycheck goes up. You know, you daven for your paycheck. That's not necessarily a miracle. You could have been something.
That's what I want to tell you. Because all of this was miracles and miracles and miracles. And you look at even the miracles of Pirkei Avos talks that there were 10 constant miracles in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, right? There was miracles that took place. That was only up until the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And the Nevi'im explained that what we're talking about, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we're not talking about the destruction of a building, and we're not talking about even the destruction of communities or the exile of the Jewish people and the hardships that we're going to. But one of the main things we're talking about is the Hasaras HaShchina. The Shechina is not going to be, means our relationship with Hashem, the Shechina, and the Shechina is right here with us. Everything is bebracha, and it's like open, and you can see the Pnei Hashem, you can see the face of Hashem. Whereas once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, then the Nevi'im explained this to the Jewish people, you're entering into a period of Hester Panim. So this is so important to understand historically, that from the moment that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, this Nebuchadnezzar did, he changed the whole relationship that the Jewish people have with God from a relationship of open miracles to no miracles, Hester Panim. And here we are in Golus, and we all thought, I mean, put yourself now, let's put yourself now in the period between, what year did you say it was? 586 BCE. Put yourself into 586 BCE and ask yourself, what am I thinking? Like, until now, whenever we were approached by an enemy, poof, some cloud came or some fire came or some sea came or something happened, frogs came, something happened, and got these people going, got these people out of here. The Plishtim, whenever we had a victory, it was miraculous victory. When we didn't have victory, we understood that we did some kind of an Avera. It was a very intense relationship that we had with the Pnei Hashem. But here we are in 586 BCE, and we're totally unprotected from a physical point of view. We were unprotected. We didn't have a country. We're living in other people's lands. We were guests, unwanted guests usually, right? We were refugees in all these different places. Babylon, Iraq, Iran, as I explained before. I mean, this was in the middle, we were spread out throughout the Middle East. Many people went, by the way, to to Yemen, and stayed there even throughout the whole of the Yemenite communities. Go back even all the way to the first base of Mikdash. The first base of Mikdash, they could trace themselves. They stayed there. So we were guests at best, Garavatosha, unwanted people, unwanted refugees at worst. What are we going to do if the enemy strikes now? The question was much deeper than what I'm saying right now. The question wasn't just, what are we going to do? We don't have a country. We don't have a tzavva. We don't have we don't have tanks. The question was much deeper. The question is, what are we going to do without the Pnei Hashem? Until now, we were relying on the miracles. But the Nevi'im already explained to us that when there's a carbon base of Mikdash, there's no Shechina amongst the Jewish people. If there's no Shechina amongst the Jewish people, so what's going to happen to us? We will become annihilated. So here, this is the first time in history. This period of time, between right after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the first time in history, from the time of Moshe at the burning bush, where we didn't have this miraculous relationship with Hashem. All of a sudden, comes Haman, and he says, a Hitler named Haman, right? Comes along and says, I'm going to destroy the Jewish people. Let's get rid of them. This is a good time. They haven't got their Beis HaMikdash. According to the Gemara, he even understood. The Gemara says in Megillah He figured out that they have no mazel. He called it mazel. They don't have any mazel now. The only mazel they have, the good luck.